The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
World is upside down. In case you haven't followed the news for the last few days, good for you. Good for you. The world hasn't changed. North Korea did launch an ICBM. They say that this could reach Alaska with a heavy nuke. After that, the U.S. and South Korea held a ballistic missile drill. This ICBM did make it into the territories of Japan. Things have gotten worse. The president is meeting with Putin for his first diplomatic dance with Putin and the G20. It is going to be an official meeting. Also, a former Guantanamo detainee got $10 million from Canada. And there's also an illegal alien who has sued San Francisco for violating their sanctuary city laws. And he won money from San Francisco. And in an amazing story that really goes to the heart of who we are and something that can actually change things, the Vatican Hospital has offered to take in the baby Charlie Gard. Charlie is a baby who the court system in London has deemed must die. He's 10 months old. The court said you cannot take him out of this hospital. You can't try to get help anywhere else. Even the Vatican now is saying, bring him to our hospital. We'll treat him. The National Center for Health over in England said he's a drain on society. This is possibly the English version of baby Naur, the first baby to die in the German Holocaust. This actually changes things. We begin there right now.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is such a heartbreaking battle, and one that we have warned was coming for years. I gave a speech about 7 years ago on how euthanasia and how a very dark society goes to nationalized health, then to rationing, and then they begin what Germany began, which is the extermination of the inferior, the extermination of those who don't have any quality of life, and they do it with compassion, and the courts will back them. This has happened before, and I'm going to give you the history of it here in a second, but let me tell you in case you don't know. There's an 11-month-old kid named Charlie Gard. He is at the Great Ormond Street Hospital in London. He has a condition that leads to weakened muscles, organ dysfunction, and some really nasty other side effects and symptoms. It's a poor prognosis for most patients. Most patients, they can't do anything about. There are some experimental treatments that are going on, but the baby has been in intensive care since October. The hospital has said, we need to take him off life support. The parent said, let us take him out of this hospital. There's a hospital in America that is doing some experimental treatment. And the hospital took the parents to court. Now, why would you do that? Well, the hospital says the baby has to die with dignity. The baby is 10 months old. He's crapping in his pants. There is no dignity at 10 months old. You're drooling. You can't talk. You're naked half the time. And you're crapping yourself. And peeing in the face, literally, of the people who love you. What dignity do you have? The dignity of the healthcare system. The control of the healthcare system. The setting of the standards and not letting people out of the healthcare system so we all understand who's in charge. They went to court. The hospital won. The judge ruled that the hospital has the right and the parents have zero right to the care of their child now. Now, I understand that the hospital says this is expensive and we can't keep him alive. You don't have enough money. Imagine what intensive care for a 10-month-old baby costs. I can understand. But this is what has always set the West apart from the rest of the world. That we didn't dispose of our children. That we fought the hardest for life, all life. That this is what Special Olympics is all about. That you're not somehow deformed or defective. Your life is special. Your life is sacred. And anybody who's done any work with Special Olympics knows, I think those guys get a pass to heaven much faster than I'm getting one. There's a lot to learn from people of special needs. And there's a lot to be said by what a society does with its most vulnerable. Now the Vatican has gotten involved. Pope Francis had the Bambino Hospital of the Vatican, the Vatican's Children's Hospital, reach out and say, we'd like to transfer the child over to us. We'll take care of the child. So now you have a hospital that wants to take the burden of this child. London said no. The Ormond Street Hospital said, legal precedent says there is no way for this child to be transferred to any other hospital. The baby must die with dignity here.
The parents have also raised $1.6 million. $1.6 million. So they have the money for the treatment, either in the United States or in Italy. And they've got two willing recipients of this baby to try to help him.
So how does a Western society fight against the right of someone to fight for their life? When you have the money, how does the Western society stand against the individual's right to fight for life? This actually began last time in a socialist nation. It began over in Sweden or Norway, and they were doing this kind of stuff, and they were talking about the children and those with no quality of life. And Germans picked up on that. Now remember, America was doing the same thing here. Castrating people, sterilizing people here in the United States to make sure we had no undesirables. It was the progressive movement, the Human Betterment Society over in California that actually brought a lot of this crap over to Germany, and Germany just institutionalized it. But it was also the Western nations of Sweden and Denmark and Norway that were also on this path.
Another old-timey organization that really believed in eugenics, that really wanted to make sure there was no undesirables as well. We give them about, what, $500 million a year today?
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood?
Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, they were in that too.
So What happened over in Germany is the Germans were fighting over socialized medicine. Remember, there was no money, and socialism had started. Remember, the first thing the Nazis did was they started welfare programs, socialized welfare programs, and retirement and medicine and hospitals on ships. And if you belonged to the party, you would get dental care and everything else. So it came disguised as help. The question was, how do we afford all of this? And when the war broke out, how do we afford all of these things and build up the nation? How many potatoes is this baby going to eat in its lifetime compared to how many potatoes, literally, how many potatoes is this baby going to help grow and bring to market? If you can't justify yourself, if you can't say, I will produce more than I eat, you're just a useless eater, and that hurts all of Germany. Baby Nauer was the first baby and the first victim of the Holocaust. It started with compassion. It started exactly the way it's starting now in the West, in England. And if we don't know history on this particular case, we will be destined to repeat it. I had some disturbing conversations with American citizens over the weekend. Really very disturbing. And I want to share the history and those disturbing conversations, and then tell you a little bit about the philosophy of Nietzsche that we are now repeating, and why the comparison of Rome and Israel is important for you to understand. This is some meatier stuff. I mean, if you want to talk about Trump and his tweet and the kid, I guess we're going to talk a little bit about the supposed kid that CNN supposedly is harassing,
which they completely denied.
Right. We think we have a couple of theories here that explain what exactly is happening. And I think it's a really good teaching lesson for our kids. We'll get to that next hour. But let's put a little meat on the bone here and talk about how do we save the West from being destroyed in a second. Blinds.com is our sponsor this half hour. Do you still have those old crooked, busted blinds? Just addressing your windows will make a huge difference in the look of your home. Go to Blinds.com. It's what Tanya and I did just, what was it, last year? I think it was last year, year before. Time flies so fast now. We redid our bedroom. It's the last room in the house, at least in our house. It's the last room to get any kind of special anything because nobody goes in there except us. So it's the last one we're going to spend money on. We finally got around to the bedroom, and the biggest thing we could do is replace the curtains that were in this room. Blinds.com has such a huge selection. We didn't even know where to start. We knew generally what we wanted, but we didn't know where to start. So we call up one of their, or just email and say, hey, do you have one of your designers that could help? On the phone, literally within 20 minutes, talking to us about what we want, looking at live video stream of the room, and beginning the process. They'll even send you free samples to make sure everything looks as good in person as it does online, and every order gets free shipping. And if you make a mistake, they'll remake your blinds or your curtains or whatever for free. Now through tomorrow, get huge site-wide savings at Blinds.com, plus save an additional 5% with the promo code BECK. This is one of their biggest sales of the year. It goes on till tomorrow. Blinds.com, promo code BECK, an additional 5% off site-wide sale. Blinds.com. Promo code BECK. Rules and restrictions do apply.
You're listening.
You're listening
to the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. 888-727 BECK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
So in Germany, in tying this to the baby in London, Charlie Gard, The reason why they are saying this about this child is because they're taking the burden away from the family, and they want the child to die with dignity because the child will have no life of dignity. That's what they're saying. Who are you to decide what life has dignity and is worth living? I cannot imagine being a parent and staying loyal to my country if this was happening. I would disavow my citizenship. I could not live in a country that did this to my child.
And this is the problem with their setup there, which is, who are they to make that decision? The ultimate authority. That's who they are.
Yeah, in medical. You have no choice. They tell you what you'll do. You have no recourse. What, are you going to go to the media? The media is preaching how great socialized medicine is, and we all have to do our part. What, are you going to go to another doctor? The doctor has nothing else to do. It's all through the government. So you have no recourse when you have bad treatment. So now, in the spirit of taking care of this child, they're going to kill this child. Baby Nauer was a baby that was born in Germany and blind, deaf. I don't think had any arms, and was in excruciating pain all the time, crying. And the doctors didn't know what to do, and the family was overwhelmed. And the parents, or at least this is the way it was spun, the parents wanted the baby to die because there was no life for this child, none, in their opinion. At the time, you couldn't just kill a child. So the new Führer got involved because the parents in the hospital wrote to the Führer and said, out of compassion, can you allow this to happen? Well, the Führer sent his own doctors to the hospital to visit Baby Nauer. And the Führer's own doctors came back and said, it's the compassionate thing to do. And so Hitler wrote a long editorial about compassion and about the quality of life and how we owe it to people who don't have any quality of life to be able to relieve them of this life and pain. So the first victim, at least in my book, the first victim of the Holocaust was a little baby who was in exactly this same state. At that time, that I know of, there was no other hospital. The Pope hadn't intervened and said, we'll take the child. The argument was there was no one that would take this child. The Pope has now intervened and said, let us take him to the Vatican. I would hope that one of our hospitals here in America would stand up. If you work at a hospital, ask your hospital why they're not standing up for little Charlie Gard. The parents have the money. They've raised over $1 million. If it takes money, this show will raise the money to help this child get to a good hospital so we fight for life. Why aren't the American hospitals? Now, Donald Trump has tweeted about this in support of the child. I hope that he is working behind the scenes. I hope that one of our hospitals here are standing up and saying, we would like to take this child. But this is a test for us. And it is a test for us to see who we really are. Have we gone the way of Rome, or are we still the children of Israel? And there's a big difference, and it's what Nietzsche wrote about in the 1880s. And Nietzsche's philosophy kind of, in many ways, was the precursor to the Holocaust and to the rise of the German philosophy of nationalized socialism and communism. There's an important lesson to be learned And we need to learn it and answer the question right now. I'll be back with that question next.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to give you some food for thought today because this story about Charlie Gard, the 11-month-old baby that the pediatric hospital, the Great Ormond Street Hospital in London, is turning off life support and has gotten a court ruling that the parents can't do anything about it, even though the parents can now pay for the treatment. The parents would like to pay for the treatment in the United States, take the baby out of the nationalized, socialized medical hospital. And now the Pope has stepped in and said, let's transfer him to the Vatican Hospital. London will not allow this to happen. And I just don't see any reason for it other than we are changing as the West. And I want to give you a couple of warnings and some things to think about. First, you don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in Moses. You don't have to believe in Jesus. What you do have to understand is history. The West was modeled on two guys, Moses, the laws of Moses, the Ten Commandments, and the golden rules of Jesus, the Beatitudes. Those were our highest ideals. And we are now living in a society that was built with those two things as its cornerstones. And we have now rejected that and said, we don't believe in the laws of Moses, and we don't believe in the Beatitudes or the teachings of Christ. Forgiveness, kindness, humility. Those were the highest ideals of man in the West. Now, we lost our way a million times over. We lost our way. But we always would return to that. And whenever the West puts those two things back in their rightful place, prosper. When we lose it, we fall. But we always return to it. Now we have demonized those things. We reject them. We teach, if we teach anything, we teach that those things are bad. So the first question is, who have we replaced as our exemplars? Who have we put up instead of Moses and Jesus for the West? Who are the examples of the men we want to be, the people we want to be? Who are our heroes? May I suggest that we are a nation and a Western culture without any heroes, and man needs heroes. I believe, as exemplified by Marvel Comics. What are the movies that are huge successes right now? Wonder Woman, Captain America,
Iron Man.
Iron Man. All of these things have replaced our heroes. We need heroes. And look at the values of those heroes. The values of those heroes are the Judeo-Christian values of the West. And the struggle between them is, are we going to become the city of man or the city of God? And so that takes me to Nietzsche and the next thing. Nietzsche work on what he called the genealogy of morals. And he said that there are problems with Christianity, according to Nietzsche. And he said, basically, what Christianity does, there's no longer anything to be feared from the Christian man, For indeed, the vermin man is tame, hopelessly mediocre, and savorless. This leads him to a general diagnosis of Europe, saying that together with the fear of man, we have also lost the love of man, reverence for man, confidence in man, indeed the will to man. So what he was saying was, Christianity makes you subservient to God and just makes you worthless. Now, think of all of the things that came out of this philosophy. Out of this philosophy was built the great socialist and communist dictatorships. So out of this philosophy, you get Mussolini, you get Stalin, you get Hitler. And what do all of those have in common when it comes to art? Strong men and women. That strong Russian, Soviet, communist, national socialist art where man is supreme. Man is strong. So Nietzsche talked about the two cultures, the culture of Rome and the culture of Israel. Rome makes a man strong. Israel makes a man subservient to God. He was pushing for the God of Rome. And the God of Rome, as he was talking about it, was still Christian, but it was a strong papacy. If you look at the difference between Israel and Rome, if you've ever been to either of them, the most sacred place, the most powerful place of all of Israel is the Temple Mount. And Jews come to worship and pray at the Temple Mount, and they can only pray through the wall. They don't pray at the wall. They pray through the wall because the wall is the western side of a mountain. And that mountain is where the temple was built. But the temple was only built there because this is where Abraham was supposed to sacrifice Isaac. And so he went there, and this is the first time man was directed by God to do something and became subservient to God. And so that's why it's sacred. And so people go and pray through the wall to that spot, and they are praying to God where they believe that connection first happened. That's the most amazing thing you can see in Israel. Everything else is really quite humble. Now go to Rome. It's the Colosseum. It's the place, I don't remember what it's called, but where they ran the chariot races, another great spectacle. It's the Vatican. It's the statues of man, of David. It's all this great artwork and all these great buildings that really, in some ways, do testify to God, but most of it testifies to the greatness of man. We are on a road to becoming Roman Christians, to where we are not subservient to God, we are not humble, where Nietzsche talked about how men were eviscerated by Christianity and made weak. Men are have been eviscerated yet again, but this time not by Christianity. Men have been eviscerated in our society, and the pendulum will swing back. And when men, not man, but when men have had enough, they will start to look towards someone who is a strong man. And it will happen all over the West. And one of the signs will be a lack of respect for the most innocent of life. The most helpless will not matter You will push the stones of the pyramids. It doesn't matter how many slaves you squish between the stones. It's about the stones moving together. It's why I was so happy to see Donald Trump get involved with this child over in England, and why it is so frightening to watch what's happening in England, because they're pushing the stones of socialism together. They know it doesn't work. The people know it doesn't work. There's a chance that this child can be saved. The money exists. The hospitals exist. The doctors exist. It's only man saying, I know best, and not being subservient or humble enough to do anything to stop the stones of the pyramids from being pushed in, no matter who is behind that stone. Our sponsor this half hour is Delta Defense. If you're like me, yesterday you spent some time talking to your family and praying for the men and women who have not only served our country, but also continue to serve our country today. What happens when the bad guys aren't just terrorists overseas, but the bad guys are in our own hometown? We live in a very unpredictable world, and the USCCA knows that self-defense is more of a necessity than ever before. The USCCA is the first and largest organization dedicated to protecting responsible gun owners before, during, and after a self-defense incident. And they're giving you an opportunity to win big. Right now, the Great American Giveaway, they're selecting this week again five lucky winners to win 1,776 guns and ammo. That's five winners will get 1776 in cash. Go to protectanddefend.com right now and lock in your five chances to win by Friday. Time is limited. Hurry over to protectanddefend.com. That's protectanddefend.com. Register now to win.
Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Blaze TV. Glenn is taking your calls live for a full hour. Call 888-727-BECK and ask Glenn anything. Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Blaze TV.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So I was in Los Angeles last week doing some work, and flew back. I promised my wife that she would see Reba one time before, you know, we died. And so Reba and Brooks and Dunn were playing in Vegas, so we fly to Vegas on the way home, and I stay there overnight. Now, I have a sample size of exactly three, so this study may not be scientific. But out of the three drivers that I had, I can draw the conclusion that every Uber driver in Las Vegas is Filipino.
I don't think that's the way demographics work.
I'm pretty sure it is. A sample size of three. And all three of them scared the hell out of me. And here's why. I got into the car, and they all had like a Filipino flag or something that marked them as from the Philippines. And so I'm always curious, and I like talking to drivers. I like to talk to the cab drivers, and because they have a good feel of what's going on.
You've always done that.
I always have. I love it. And so I get in the car, and my wife rolls her eyes as soon as I start talking. And I said, so what do you think of what's happening in the Philippines with, you know, the killing of drug users? And, oh, 100%. Oh, it is great. Really? Yes. Well, can't you just go out and kill anybody that you think is a drug lord or a drug user? Yes, but those drug users are putting money into the coffers of the drug lords, and they don't have the money, so they go rob somebody else's house. They're a menace to society, and it's about time somebody does it. One of them said, yeah, if you use drugs, you lose your right to a fair trial.
Okay.
And so that one, I said, how long have you lived in the United States? 25 years.
Wow.
Wow. Real influence, apparently.
So the Constitution is, we must teach our children and revere the Constitution, because the Constitution is the only thing that stops us from one side or the other saying, round those people up and just shoot them. We all know they're the problem. No fair trial. Tell me that a few incidents could happen like that inspired Kate's Law. Let's say 10 of those happened. Boom, 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 boom. And everybody in the media was trying to say, oh, now, you know, we don't have a problem with immigration and we don't have a problem with criminals coming into our country. And there's 10 of them. Tell me that somebody couldn't stand up in this country and say, you know what? We all know where the illegals are. We all know that they're criminals. We all know. I mean, they broke the law getting here. Take care of it. And if they had the authority to say that, say we're not going to prosecute, you know that a good portion of this country would do it. And let's just say, let's reverse it. We all know those people who, you know, believe in the founding fathers, they're a problem. They're the ones causing it. It's those gun owners that are having the problem. Take care of them. You know that people would rise up to do that.
Before we run out of time this hour, you wanted to make sure you announced Jeffy's annual bonus, a trip to the Philippines. All expenses paid as long as it takes, your quote. I don't know what that exactly meant.
I don't know exactly. That was just part of the official rules. Fine print, lawyer stuff.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about it, Jeffy.
So as long as it takes. Have a good time.
Get to the airport.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Couple things that happened over the weekend that you should be aware of. First of all, did you guys see the another whale washed up on the beach over the weekend?
Yeah.
They had to close the whole beach. I saw a picture of it. He was reading a Brad Thor book there, apparently, with his family.
The whale?
The whale
was
reading?
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird. Anyway, we'll get into that here in just a second. Also, some flyers were left on cars in San Diego. We don't know. Police haven't told anyone whether they're investigating the source of these flyers. But why really hurry? They were just flyers that said, we'll make you rich if you join us. We're killing off the entire evil white race. Signed. We begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
The headline, Jobs, 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 is on flyers that have been popping up around Little Italy, around San Diego, with racially charged language that appears to be targeting white people. This, according to Channel 10 News in San Diego, they have several variations of the flyer. The language varies slightly, but they use the same font and they have the same similar theme. Alyssa Ehrman said she received one on her windshield in late April. It appeared to be a jobs flyer promising to make you rich if you join us. It said, we're killing off an entire evil white race by making them addicted to cocaine, crack, spiked marijuana, spice, meth, heroin, hash, and other poisons to kill them. They were then, they included a phone number. Most of those phone numbers just went to either a dead number or to local businesses. And they are all signed Latino Power, Viva La Raza. Channel 10 News has reached out to San Diego police. They have not heard back whether or not they are investigating the flyers. Now,
why would you?
Yeah, why would you? Why yeah. run
no big
to,
deal.
No big deal. Now, this is what I find interesting. One of the people, this Alyssa Ehrman, one of the people who got this flyer said that she has no idea where they came from, but she thinks they might be an art project. Now, who jumps to the conclusion that it's an art project? And at the same time, who doubts that there is a university telling its art students to do this for extra points as an art project? I don't doubt either of them.
And I'm sure this would be a totally appropriate art project for white people to say the same thing about Hispanics.
It's unbelievable.
It'd be perfectly fine.
Imagine anything signed the race. That's what La Raza. La Raza is Spanish for the race. How, can you imagine? We that is racism.
Oh yeah. I mean, isn't that what the KKK is all about? The white race.
The race.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of the alt-right is about. The race. The watering down of the race. It's, I mean, and we know what happens. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to bring something in from the office. I worked on something last week, and I think I really have a key to understanding the left. And it's so simple that it's kind of one of those things that you're like, either yeah, or crap, how did we not see this before? And for me, at least, it was, how did I not put this together before? And I'll share it with you here, at the bottom of the hour. I want to talk a little bit about, the story that's revolving now around CNN, the president tweeted this stupid video that showed him, you know, beating a guy up at a wrestling event years ago. But somebody had slapped the CNN logo on the head of the guy, so it looked like he was beating up CNN. The president tweets it. Okay, whatever. It's quite honestly... I'm sorry to have to say this, and maybe I shouldn't, but I feel a responsibility to at least say where we stand or where I stand. Except for matter of degrees, I don't see the difference between that and, you know, standing with a picture of a severed head, except for degrees. They're both advocating violence in a stupid, silly way. One is the president, but one is the president beating somebody up that represents the media. And his punches were pretty violent, and I know they were fake. So I just don't understand how we can have higher ground. And I know degrees, but degrees shouldn't make a difference. Go ahead, Stu.
That's interesting. I mean, I hadn't thought of it that way. I thought the reaction by initially... a lot of journalist organizations, like this is advocating violence against the media, was really overblown. It was a dumb joke.
Well, if you buy into their advocating violence the way they've always presented it.
Yeah, their own standards that they set. If mm-hmm. you want to live in the world that they set up. I would say that that's probably true. And it's why Kathy Griffin, the Griffin thing, you know, bit them in the butt, right? Because it's one of those things where that is the world they set up. There's no such thing. You know, targeting a district means you wanted this person shot in
Arizona. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That standard is absurd. And I think you're right. Like, I think both of them were dumb, jokey commentary with
Kathy Griffin with to a much different degree because of the disgust element, right? Like you're sitting there, people are, it's so much more vivid and brutal and not jokey.
And but some people like me think there are some things sacred that you don't joke about. And you don't joke about killing the president. And quite honestly, you know, you're going, when you're beheading people,
it's
you're
totally
also,
different.
Yeah, you're also conjuring up ISIS and all of that stuff. I mean, it's bad.
It is. So, yes, I would say that there's degrees. It sounds like you're minimizing it, but that is a really big distinction that you have to make.
And oh, no, I know that.
That's why she got a visit from the Secret Service this weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, but for us, here we are saying, right. Can but you morally, imagine what is the police? Are the police looking into even an art project? Is it right to do an art project? Somebody should say no to that professor. If that's indeed what's happening, this could be La Raza, you know, or crazy people in her La Raza. We're looking and saying somebody should investigate this. This is wrong. Even if it's an art project, this is wrong. What's happening in San Diego? Okay, well, let's just be consistent and say, let's lower the temperature. Let's always be for things that are lowering the temperature. I don't want to be against things anymore. I'm just so tired of it. Let's be for lowering the temperature. So that's the part of the story of this video that I want to concentrate on, is lowering the temperature. Now, CNN found out that it was that this video apparently, we don't know for sure, originated with this guy on Reddit. We don't know who the guy is. They found him at CNN. Stu has a really, I think, the best theory, and it's theory, it's not fact, the best theory out there on what happened. CNN has not released this guy's name. I've never seen that happen before. Especially when it goes to anti-Semitic, when it goes to somebody who's not on their side, they'll do everything they can to make this guy an eternal villain. However, they didn't this time. Some people are saying because it's a kid, CNN, the guy who actually knows, said it's absolutely not a kid. He's
a middle-aged man.
Middle-aged man. Mm-hmm. CNN is saying we're not releasing his name. Doesn't mean that we're not going to, but we're not releasing his name at this time because he's recognized what he's done and blah, blah, blah. And the only thing I can think of is that there's some sort of change of heart there. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt that they know the violence this guy will see from the left, and it only furthers things. Stu has a reason why this lie about CNN threatening the guy is going around. Listen to this. Theory.
Yeah, so a couple things. One, you could argue, I think, that CNN likes the idea that some internet troll is apologizing for something that the president won't apologize for. I think you could argue.
It does not seem like the big win to me, but
it did.
Okay.
There is a distinction there to say, you know what, this guy who was posting like Star of David on every CNN personality that isn't even Jewish, and making all sorts of anti-Semitic memes, even this guy will apologize, but the president won't. I wouldn't be surprised if part of it is they like that point. However, another part of this is the guy who did this, who wrote this story, is part of a brand new investigative unit at CNN. This unit was plucked directly out of BuzzFeed. They just took it out from BuzzFeed and hired everybody in the unit and brought them over to CNN. It was kind of a big media story at the time.
And huge culture shock.
Huge.
They are not the same with their culture.
Right. And so here you look at, for example, BuzzFeed. They were the ones that published the dossier of Trump's prostitution jaunts in Russia. Remember
which
this whole
we
story?
Believe is 100% false.
Don't believe it's true. They didn't even claim they thought it was true. BuzzFeed, they just said, basically their summation of that was, but when in doubt, if we think there's news relevance, we're going to publish it. And we'll let people decide on their own. That is their standard. BuzzFeed is a new media company. Their standard is to publish. Right. Mm-hmm. So they take this organization and you take this unit out of BuzzFeed, who made their name finding crazy things like this with really, I mean, at times, amazing ability to find people in situations, find old videos, find old.
Yes.
I mean, really, they earned that job. They get pulled over to there, and there's a big culture shock. As a person who was part of a group, Glenn, you'll remember this well, going from talk radio culture into CNN culture in 2006, we did that. And the culture shock is dramatic. Like, things you would say flippantly, because everyone understands you, what you're talking about. We would get calls from Standards and Practices. I mean, to the point, and the particular one was Israel-related stuff, was always, we were cracked down on every word we said over it, almost to the point of, like, who won wars, they would argue with us about.
Yes. Yes.
And so
to the point where we had Standards and Practice in the control room while we shot, and because we weren't live, sometimes those shows would take 3 hours to shoot.
They'd stop us in the middle of monologues,
yes.
Right? And so if you're coming from that culture where you name people and you go into the CNN culture where they may have said, hey, you know, I don't know, this is just, you know, this is a private citizen, maybe we shouldn't name him. The way that was phrased struck me as the writer's effort to say, look, CNN doesn't want to release this, but you know what? We reserve the right. At some point, we might do it. Rather than a threat to say, well, you will not violate me. It's him saying, I think we probably should release this, but CNN is saying no. However, we still hold this information and it could come at any time. And it does fit into, again, I don't know these guys, so it could very well, I could be wrong on that, but that's the theory. Because it is a completely different world when you enter into one of those old-timey, old-school media organizations like CNN now is. I mean, they used to be the new kid on the block.
It's the way we would have communicated. If we were over at CNN, and the way we did communicate at times at Fox, we couldn't tell you, you know, the whole truth, but we would say, at some point, we may be discussing this further.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more of a shot internally than externally. And I think it's being taken as an external threat instead of the possibility of an internal threat. Don't know if that is true, but it's great analysis and look at that.
And quickly, their public line is, the line was misinterpreted. It was intended only to mean we made no agreement with the man about his identity.
So now I want to show you the good thing about this story, the really good thing about this story, and how you can use it in your own family today to help your own family in just a second. First, our sponsor this half hour is Goldline. There was a paradigm change that happened over the weekend. And if you weren't paying attention to the news, A, good for you. But B, you got to do some catch up. And next hour, I'm going to have some information on this. But North Korea had a missile test. And it has left the United States and China in a split state. They don't know how to deal with it. North Korea announced Tuesday it had successfully tested an intercontinental ballistic missile. We know that it came down in Japanese territory. North Korea state media said it reached the altitude of 1,741 miles, its highest ever missile test. The world is on the brink. There is a meeting and an emergency meeting at the UN that happened over the weekend. There's a meeting, an official meeting now with President Trump and President Putin on Friday. There's a lot to be discussed in the world, and we are on the edge. Please do your homework. I want you to read a report from David Stockman. You might remember him. He was President Reagan's budget director. He has identified 5 threats that can put the world economy into a total depression spiral. And the report is absolutely free. All you have to do is call 866-465-3546, 1-866-GOLDLINE. Look, I know that there's a lot of people in this audience that are not concerned about things like this. And there are a lot more so that say information is the most important commodity out there. More important than gold is information. Do your own homework. You're smart enough to figure this out. And ask them about, you know, the risk information. So you get risk information on the investment in gold. But I'm telling you now, please prepare. And for as little as $2,500, you're going to get 3 months of price protection. That means If the price of gold goes down within 3 months, they make it up with extra gold. Nobody does this. And the more you spend, the more protection you get, all the way up to a year of protection for $25,000 investment. 866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
All right, so CNN finds the guy who made that video of Trump in the WWF fight from years ago, and they ask him, "Okay, so what's up, dude?" Because he posted, "Wow, can't believe the president retweeted this." Well, you go to his Reddit file and you see that he has done horrible, horrible things. Really anti-Semitic, really, really bad. And this is the part of the story that doesn't make sense to me, because the usual way for the mainstream media to handle this is you see a guy who is posting anti-Semitic stuff. You do nothing. You just assume he's a conservative and you go for him. And it doesn't matter what the truth is. And I mean, I don't know how you can post anti-Semitic stuff and the truth be good, but you just never give him a break in the mainstream media ever. They do everything they can to connect decent, innocent people to those kinds of thoughts when they don't exist. Here's a guy where it does exist. He apologizes, and they're like, okay, well, we accept his apology. I don't understand that. Because the way I look at the media, they are only in for the president's blood at every step of the way. And so it doesn't, something's not right on this story. Or something has changed that I find hard to believe, but maybe. So what do we get out of this? Well, I want you to read what he posted yesterday. I think this is something that we should all read to our kids at dinner tonight. I'll share it when we come back.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
I just can't get over the feeling that something is not right with this story, this Han A-hole Solo story from Reddit.
The internet makes every story interesting because you have to read their stupid screen names.
I know. This guy was up on Reddit and filed all kinds of anti-Semitic stuff. And then he's the guy who apparently did a version of the tweet the president sent out. And it's the one where the president is old footage of Donald Trump at a wrestling match. And he throws a guy down on the ground and just beats the snot out of him. It's a wrestling thing. And this guy superimposed the CNN logo over the face of the guy the president was beating. Well, he gets up and he sees the president has tweeted it and he thinks it's his. And he's like, oh, my gosh, that's great. And he's happy. But then when the media gets a hold of it and says, look at the violence, the guy isn't happy. And he's like, oh, you know what? That's not mine. That was somebody else's. Somebody else took my original tweet and then added sound effects and music behind it audio.
Initially, he was happy.
Yes, initially he was happy.
Then he turned around.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Important.
So now this is the part that I think we can actually use to help our own children. But some of this is really interesting. First of all, this is his apology now. First of all, I'd like to apologize to the members of the Reddit community for getting this site and this sub embroiled in a controversy that should never have happened. I would also like to apologize for the posts made that were racist, bigoted, and anti-Semitic. I am in no way that kind of person. I love and accept people of all walks of life, and I've done so for my entire life. Huh, okay. I am not the person that the media portrays me to be in real life. I was trolling and posting things to get a reaction from the subs on Reddit and never meant any of the hateful things I said in these posts. I would never support any kind of violence or actions against others simply for what they believe in, their religion, or their lifestyle they choose to have. Nor would I carry out any violence against anyone based upon that or support anyone who did. Do you believe that?
You know, it's weird coming from someone who would post that kind of trash on the internet. But I mean, it reads, I think, in an authentic way. Does it not?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, someone who...
I think there's a lot of people. I know that I have responded kindly to people who are just trolls and not so much anymore. But there were times when they'd be like, oh, man, I was just kidding. I'm sorry. I was not... And people, it was really... I mean, people do try just to get a reaction.
Yep, totally. And I think it's a way for people to feel alive. And it says a hell of a lot about our society, man. It
says a lot. The meme was created purely as satire, he continues to write. It was not meant to be a call to violence against CNN or any other news affiliation. I had no idea anyone would take it and put sound to it and then put it up on the president's Twitter feed. That's the question. Who did that? It was a prank, nothing more. What the president's feed showed was not the original post that was posted here, but loaded up somewhere else and sound added to it and then sent out to Twitter. I think this is why they're accepting the apology. They're giving him credit to bring this closer to the president. Because who did that? Did the president have somebody do that? I think this is why this is being accepted, because it makes no sense to me. Something's wrong. And I want to take people at face value, but you need more than one time of letting somebody go of something like this.
Well, there has to be a first time.
Yeah, there does. It was a prank, nothing more. I thought it was the original post that was made, and that's why I took credit for it. I have the highest respect for the journalistic community, and they put their lives on the line every day with jobs that they do reporting the news.
Okay. They do?
No,
I mean, war correspondents, yeah, right, maybe, yeah. But that's a pretty small percentage.
Yes. A little bit of exaggeration of the...
Yes. Yes.
To people who troll...
They're not the military.
Now, this is the part that I think is important to read to your family. To sit down and talk about, was this right? Play the video. Was this right? Was this right of the president to post it? Was it right for somebody who made it? Was the media's reaction right? Just talk to your kids about the difference of right and wrong, because our kids look at the internet as a game. To people who troll on the internet for fun, he writes, consider your words and the actions conveyed in your message and who it might upset or anger. Put yourself in their shoes before you post it. I mean, I remember saying things, doing things, and then, you know, a friend of the family or somebody else would say, hey, that I didn't know was standing there. What would your mother say about that? And you'd immediately freeze and go, yes, sir. That's as bad as it got for us, was just saying it to four or five of our stupid friends and getting caught. It's totally different now. What this guy said got somehow or another to the president of the United States. Put yourself in their shoes before you post it. If you have a problem with trolling it, it is an addiction just like any other addiction someone can have to something, and don't be embarrassed to ask for help. That's powerful to say to your kids, and that goes to all of the studies that we're reading about now that talk about the hits that you get in your head every time somebody likes what you've said.
Studies and South Park episodes.
Yes.
Both scientific genres are speaking
I about believe
it.
The South Park episode actually more. Trolling is nothing more than bullying a wide audience. Don't feed your own self-worth based upon inflicting suffering upon others online just because you're behind a keyboard. I think that's a tremendous story.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a good apology. I can't help but think that this has been blown way out of proportion. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's Trump doing a wrestling move on somebody with CNN on their face. It wasn't really CNN.
What?
He said
it right on his face.
Really do this? Nothing happened in real life. It's just a dumb little, 5-second video?
Yeah, stupid.
It's so out of proportion.
And that's why I think the media is
reacting. All connection with proportion now.
No, because we've lost all connection with decorum. Guys, if Barack Obama would have done that with a tea bag over a guy's head, we would have gone crazy and the media would have said nothing. We would have gone crazy. We would have. We would have. Yes, we would have.
Yeah.
If Barack Obama would have tweeted out something like that and he had like a 9/12 project or a tea party. Can you imagine? We would have gone crazy. We went crazy when he said, and the car's in the ditch.
But if a
bunch of teabaggers, we're not going to let them drive. You put us in the ditch.
A more exact example would be Fox News. Would we have gone crazy if it was Fox?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, we would have.
He trashed Fox all the time.
And we went crazy.
And it was him. It was literally him, not just the president retweeting something. It was him saying Fox was.
I know. But we had a problem with it.
Yeah.
We had a real problem with it. And so it's not that this is a big deal. Yesterday, I should share this. I wrote something on Facebook. And it started with this premise that the older I get, the less I hate things. You know, when you're a kid, you hate stuff. And your mom's always like, oh, no, you don't hate. You hate the actions that they're... No, I hate the person, Mom. I hate them. No, you hate their actions and the things that they do. The older I get, the less I hate. The more I realize that things really, really matter or they don't matter at all. And the reason why this was going through my head yesterday was this tweet doesn't matter at all. Doesn't matter at all. Mm-hmm. We're reading into it what we want to read into it. And we are reading into, or we are looking at a presidency that this happens. But Bush was the last real president that tried to represent both sides. He tried to represent both sides. He never was, well, tell them to go to hell. He did say that about, you're either with us or against us when it came to, conquering Al-Qaeda and evil. But I'm okay with that one. But some people weren't. But he never went out. I mean, he met with Cindy Sheehan and everything else. The president mm-hmm. did not reach out to the right.
He didn't meet with her 8 times.
Right.
So
he never, President Obama never reached out to the Tea Party heads, tried to really talk to the people. Instead, the IRS and teabaggers and all that stuff. And this president has just upped that game. So we're just seeing an evolution of the presidency that I don't like. I didn't like it in the last one. I don't like it in this one. Some people don't mind it in this one because of what happened in the last one. Some people are minding it in this one because they didn't see it happening in the last one. We saw it in both. I don't like it in either. I think that's a good place to be. But it doesn't matter. What matters are the little things. When I wrote that yesterday, I don't hate. They're just things that matter and don't. And it's funny because a lot of the stuff that the media concentrates on, really, it doesn't matter to me. The things that matter are the things I used to hate when I was a kid. sitting down at the dinner table and having dinner every night. I was always like, I gotta go. I got another thing. I got practice. I have this. I have that. I gotta go. I hated sitting down at dinner.
What kind of practice did you have? Violin? What sort of practice did you
was
have to
get pinochle? To? Pinochle? Was it a, what kind of?
Theater, choir. Okay, yes. So, all right. Yes. There are other kinds of practices, you know.
Well, that's why we were asking.
Yeah, he was just trying to clarify. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, had to go do stuff. Now, that's one of the most important things ever. It's just, and I don't hate practice. I don't hate other things that you have to do. I just really love this. Just really love this. And I found meaning in the small things, which brings me to how I read this about Donald Trump and about CNN, you know, holding this guy hostage or whatever the hell is going on. I don't care. That story, they can have it. They go further that story all you want. Here's what really you need to know. The last paragraph of this three-paragraph apology is one we should all be sitting down with our kids tonight and saying, here's news. I don't know what that means. I mean, does any of this make you feel like it's right? Now listen to what the guy said who made the original and was accused of this and did some really bad things. Look what he said. Your self-worth does not come from this. It's addictive. Think of the other people on the receiving end before you say really horrible things that you know you don't mean, because it's real. Your voice, just think of this lesson. His voice, unbeknownst to him, made it to the president's desk. Don't tell me that you can't be heard in today's society. Your voice is more powerful than you ever could imagine. And man's individual voice is more powerful than it's ever been since creation of the earth and Adam first woke up. Now this, if you've been thinking about doing your windows, now is the time. At Blinds.com, huge site-wide savings, but it ends tomorrow. Everything on the entire site is for sale, and every order gets free shipping. It's not just for sale. Of course it's for sale. It's on sale now.
Everything for sale. No.
A lot of stuff you just click on and you can't do anything with. Yeah, they're like, we don't sell this thing. Yeah, we just like a picture of it.
Now through tomorrow, you can get huge site-wide savings at Blinds.com. Plus, you're going to save an additional 5% just by using the promo code BECK. This is one of their biggest sales of the entire year. It's Blinds.com, promo code BECK. Get an additional 5% off their site-wide sale right now until tomorrow. Been thinking about redoing your windows or your drapes, your curtains, your shutters, your blinds, whatever? Blinds.com. Blinds.com, promo code BECK. Rules and restrictions apply. It happens. Their biggest sale of the year. Until tomorrow.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK.
I was in California. Yet another reason to live in California. Gas price was $4, over $4 a gallon.
Good heavens.
$4 a gallon.
Where they're coming down under $2 a gallon everywhere
way
else.
Way under.
You don't have the life savings,
blends, the special blends. They're saving people's lives. Yeah, that's great. In Cleveland, it's down to 180, an average of 180, but some stations are selling it for as low as 167 a gallon. In Rock Hill, South Carolina, $1.82.
Yeah, it's here, in the 80s. It's 180s here.
Here in the Metroplex, it's 185 to 189. Yeah.
You know,
really
what
good.
I don't really know why, but I miss all of the reports when we were when gas was up 10 cents a gallon and it was because of Dick Cheney.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, those simple days never to return again. How nobody's saying anything about $4 gasoline in California. Jeez. It's just crazy. Back in a second with an update on North Korea that you must have.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
An illegal alien gets $190,000 from San Francisco because they're supposed to be a sanctuary city and they violated his rights. You're not going to believe this one.
It's unbelievable.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. I got to stop saying that. You're not going to believe this. Yeah, you'll believe it all. And while we were celebrating Independence Day, the world was melting down on the other side of the globe. And there was a special security meeting at the General Assembly for the United Nations yesterday. It looks like we may be being set up by North Korea, China, and Russia. And there's no way out of this one that's going to be good. Really, for anybody. I want to stop by and tell you exactly what happened in North Korea over the weekend and then try to explain why it matters. We begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. Well, most of us were celebrating Independence Day yesterday, as most of us dads were keeping the burger and hot dog orders while the rest of the family prepared for the ultimate fireworks display. Kim Jong-un, on the other side of the planet, spent his July 4th in a very similar fashion. North Korean fireworks lit up the sky, their very first successful test of an intercontinental ballistic missile. North Korean dictator said it's, quote, a gift to the American bastards, end quote.
So only to fatherless Americans?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean...
You know what
Americans
don't understand about North Korea is that we're still technically at war with them. They have been preparing since the 1950s to go to war with us. And they think that they can win and they can at least cause a lot of disruption now that they also have nuclear missiles. Wait until I tell you the details of this, but
they have ICBMs. Not necessarily. We don't know if they have nuclear.
We know that they have. We know that they have nukes. Mm-hmm. We know that they have now an ICBM. We do not know that the ICBM can actually make it as far as they think it, as far as they say it can, to Alaska.
They think it can, though.
Yeah, they think we think it can, and we're not sure if the nuke can fit into the top of that missile. There's a lot of speculation and coordination on that, but we do know they have nuclear weapons and they have an ICBM.
And these are long-term sort of asinine lines to justify an action. We've been making these statements forever. Well, we don't think that they can fit a 9-pound thing on this missile, but an 8-pound they can. It's like we just keep coming up with these lines justifying that another reason
we're
to push it down the road.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to do something this time?
No,
I don't know.
I don't.
I mean, Trump does seem to take, just not like these things, right?
Listen to what's happening here. He chose Independence Day for a very specific purpose. In his mind, I believe, Kim Jong-un, with this launch, marks North Korea's independence. Now, they think they're going to bring North and South Korea back together. It guarantees his survival. That is for sure. North Korea no longer has a nuclear weapons program. They now have nuclear weapon capability. That's different. Remember 8 years ago, I said about Iran and North Korea, we are going to come to a place if we don't deal with this. This is under Bush. If we don't take this seriously and deal with it now, they're not going to have a program. They're going to have weapons, and then there will be no good options. This is where we are as of yesterday. This ICBM launch was the red line that we have been claiming we've been looking for. What we do about it now is anybody's business. It's a total game changer. This missile that they fired yesterday was mobile. It was able to be launched from any location with no advance warning. It has a 4 kilometer kilometer range, which puts it puts Alaska within its crosshairs now.
4 kilometers? No.
No, 4,000 kilometers.
Okay, that's different.
Is it? No, that's
a little bit different.
We do know. Yeah, is that confirmed?
Yeah, it is. Okay.
That means it takes it from 4 miles away from its launch site to.
Because if you guys aren't sure, I can look it up and see if 4 and 4,000 are the same.
You don't need this.
I don't.
No. You can get this anyway.
You can get this anyway. I could hire street people and they can do this to me all day long. All right. So North Korea appears to be prioritizing testing their missile technology over the actual nuclear tests. We're wondering if that is because they've got the nukes all ready to go. We're not sure. This is the question that President Trump is now facing.
How can we be so unsure? I mean, with the technology we have, supposedly we can see a license plate from space and read what's in somebody's pocket from there.
This is all underground.
Figure out.
This is all underground, and they are so technologically inferior to us that it's like, you know, you have to go on the ground to be able to find it. We don't have the human assets anymore. We don't spy that way anymore. We do everything digitally. So everything being underground and no human assets on the ground, I mean,
maybe
how do we find
that's the problem. Why don't we, you know, we should maybe have some human assets on the ground. Right?
I mean, I would think
maybe
so.
Other than
it's
Dennis
United
Rodman.
United States of America. Yeah, other than Dennis Rodman.
So, what has been the world's response? This is where it gets really dicey. Russia and China immediately responded to the test yesterday with a call for South Korea and the U.S. to halt all military exercises in return for North Korea's abandonment of their nuclear program. Two problems with this. North Korea doesn't have a program anymore. They have nuclear weapons, and they're not going to give the weapons up to anyone. Two, Russia and China see the writing on the wall now. They know what is about to happen, and they are now positioning themselves to portray the United States as the aggressive warmonger that refused any diplomatic solution. They are setting up a diplomatic trap, and we know it. So what's going to happen? Well, neither side can back down, and the world is now preparing for what comes next. So what actually does come next? This was the case in the 1950s. This is what got us here beginning in the 1950s. And China holds the key. The only thing that will make Kim Jong-un back down is heavy economic sanctions and a full-on oil embargo. If China says no trade, it's over for him, and only China can do it. Unfortunately, the president just tweeted this at 4 a.m. this morning. Trade between China and North Korea grew almost 40% in the first quarter of this year. So much for China working with us, but we had to give it a try.
Well, because he had tweeted the opposite just a couple weeks ago, right? Yes. Or he's saying at least they tried and it didn't work.
Yeah. And at the dinner, he said that we've made a lot of progress.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's assume that there's some strategy here. What does saying something like that politically accomplish? If you read between the lines, this tweet looks like a justification. This tweet looks like the president telling the world the United States has exhausted all non-military options, that the key to a peaceful solution ran through China, and China refused to play ball. He's setting them up to be the fall guy while they are setting us up to be the fall guy. All signs now point to a military resolution South Korea and the United States responded to the ICBM test with a military exercise last night, firing surface-to-surface missiles into the ocean. It was a message to Kim Jong-un that a preemptive strike is now looming. If China decides to cooperate, the war can be stopped. If North Korea backs down, the war can be stopped. If the United States agrees to halt military cooperation with South Korea, the war can be stopped. But are any of these realistic?
No.
It is beginning to look like war with North Korea is becoming more and more of a real option. And we are entering now the endgame stage with North Korea. So you know, this is far more grave than anything I have seen in my lifetime. This is this is the possibility of being millions dead, and a good possibility. This is if it begins, thousands will be dead within hours, and if it drags on, millions will be dead. There is no winner in this, and it could drag the entire world into a third world war. And with Russia and China standing on the side of North Korea, that's disturbing.
Yeah, because really the only thing that, you know, pops into mind in recent, relatively recent history is the Cold War, where that was really the thought all the time, that you could have millions and millions dead.
And that stopped us.
And, yeah. I mean, I don't know what you do here, right, to be honest. I mean, because, yeah, you can put more sanctions on them, but I mean, they you know,
without China,
they basically
and Russia,
don't have
it won't happen.
Roads or electricity anyway in the country. So I don't know what, you know, they're already all starving.
And the people and the people blame us. I mean, the people have been raised since the 1950s that all of their problems are being caused by the United States, that their starvation is because of the United States, their lack of medical care, if they even understand that, because they're so far in the dark ages on that, is caused by the United States. That the point of all suffering for their people is the United States of America. And it is why Kim Jong-un has distanced himself from his father, Kim Jong-il, and gone to his grandfather, got the same haircut, does the same stuff, speaks the same way, has the same photos taken, does the same rituals, everything to image himself as his grandfather and not his father, because his grandfather was the great hope of South Korea or North Korea. And Kim Jong-un is trying to image himself as the new great hope that's going to take them through the next wave of hell and remain victorious on the other side like his grandfather. It's now that they have nuclear weapons and an ICBM, and we know they're not afraid to use it, they actually are one step away from being Iran. I believe if Iran has an ICBM and they have a nuclear weapon, they will fire it to Israel. There's without a doubt in my mind, they will do that. North Korea is one step away from that, in my opinion.
And, you know, countries, when they get nuclear weapons, rise to levels of prominence they can't achieve in other ways. And that's why nobody gives them up. Only one time in human history has a country ever given up their nuclear arsenal, South Africa. And that was a really weird circumstance. Like, these things don't happen often. Once you get them, India, Pakistan, like, they're not going to, you know, no one gives these things up, because you rise to
no
a first level
paranoid
country.
Family. Dynasty would give them up.
No, you look at the way we treat them. We've never treated countries like this. If we don't believe that they're going to fire a nuclear weapon across the border to a close ally, we're not treating them the way we are now. We would have treated the last 20 years would have gone a lot differently. And especially since they got those nuclear weapons, we've completely turned into another, like, we're another country when we deal with them. we treat them like we deal with Russia or any other country that's nuclear armed. China,
France.
Yeah.
All right. I want to tell you about our sponsor. It is My Patriot Supply. The world is almost on autopilot at this point. And it's going to take a wave of people to turn it around. I want to give you a story of something that happened in San Francisco that will show you that wave is moving in the other direction still. It can turn around, but it's going to take all of us coming together and all of us not having hope, but having real confidence. And the only way you can take hope and turn it into confidence is if you're prepared. Man does not rise to his aspirations. Man rises always to the level of his preparedness or the level of his learning. So we have to go the extra step. We have to keep ourselves abreast of what's happening in the world, and then we have to take the steps to prepare ourselves so we can be part of the solution. My Patriot Supply is having a special, their new survival food supply, which includes 102 adult servings of breakfast, lunch, and dinner for $99. You know, when we have military officials warning, quote, self-restraint, which is a choice, is all that separates armistice and war, you'll realize we don't have to declare war on North Korea, nor they declare war on us. We're in a ceasefire right now. And self-restraint is all that is standing between us. Get their new survival food supply, 102 adult servings of breakfast, lunch, and dinner for only $99. Or go to preparewithglenn.com. Turn hope into confidence. You're going to be fine. Your family's going to be fine, and you'll be part of the solution. 800-200-7163. 800-200-7163 or preparewithglenn.com.
Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Blaze TV. Glenn is taking your calls live for a full hour. Call 888-727-BECK and ask Glenn anything. Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Blaze TV.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah, this is continuing our conversation on North Korea. This shows you why team jerseys are so dangerous at times like these. Who do you root for in the North Korea thing? I mean, obviously we root for us and root against the bad guys. We know who the bad guys are, but what are you rooting for?
What do you root for us to do?
Yeah, are you rooting for war? You're rooting for no war?
Yes.
Yeah, but then are you rooting for it just to stay the same? No. I mean, what is the right solution here?
Like you said, there's no good solution now.
Yeah, we passed.
Since we didn't deal with this 10 or 15 years ago,
and there's
no good solution.
We're going to the same place with Iran.
Yeah.
And so there will be no good solution, and we've had our hands tied, and we didn't do things when we should have. I mean, we're going to be held responsible, I think, for ignoring the cries of all of the people that are in the concentration camps over there. I mean, this is...
Yeah.
They're horrible.
As much
they're
as I horrible. Hate the useless UN, maybe that's our only alternative right now, is to get some kind of consensus from the Security Council and then go deal with it from that standpoint.
And that's sort of what the G20 thing is about, right? Trump's going there. He's going to meet with not only with Putin, but all sorts of world leaders too.
Yeah.
And they do expect the focus of the conversations to be North Korea, which is, as you point out, our most imminent threat right now.
You know, somebody who lives in North Korea is one country away from Finland. I think it's Finland. Is it Finland?
Wait, what?
They're only one country separated from each other.
Finland and Korea? North Korea?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got China. Soviet Union. And
right.
Russia.
Which isn't.
That's two.
No, Soviet Union. Or the Russia. No. Yeah. They border.
They border. Just Russia at one
Russia.
Point. Yeah.
And Finland borders one, Russia.
Yeah. It's a big really country. Big freaking yes, country.
Yeah, one big country.
Yeah.
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 But it's like I'm a just saying, away. What I'm trying to say
is, fact,
there is
a
more there is more surface area to Russia than there is to the planet of Pluto.
It's not a planet anymore.
Big.
I think it's coming back now.
Don't exaggerate Pluto.
It's coming back now.
Is it? Are they thinking about?
I think they're rethinking
reinstalling
that, yes.
Yeah, it as a planet. Yeah.
Have you heard about the mysterious planet that they can't see now?
No.
They think there's another planet.
Our solar system?
I think so. I didn't really understand.
Was he on a beach too in New Jersey?
Yes, causing the waves to come up. This weekend? No, there's something in dark space that we can't see that is actually affecting our solar system, and they're talking about maybe
this
another big planet.
This is the Glenn Beck program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck program.
A man from El Salvador in the U.S. illegally has sued San Francisco after police turned him over to immigration authorities in violation of the city's sanctuary law.
Unbelievable.
He is going to be awarded $190,000, according to his attorney. Now, this happened last Thursday. Now,
heaven help us.
Now, what happened? Now, imagine San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They didn't turn in anybody.
Right.
Guy who, you know, Kate's right. Law. Happened in San Francisco. The guy who killed Kate, what was her last name?
Steinle.
Was shot by a guy who had been...
deported 5 times.
Yeah, and came
back into the country 6 times.
Breaking the law, drugs, all kinds of bad stuff. They refused to turn him over, and he went out and killed somebody. Now, what did this guy, 33 years old, what did this guy do to have the San Francisco authorities go around the law, their sanctuary city law?
Which is really not a law, is it? Is it a law or is it a policy?
It's a policy.
Yeah.
But
it does say
police,
law, but I think they're just policies.
The police follow that
as
law. They follow
yes, they
it.
Do.
They always follow it, no matter how bad the guy is.
Yeah.
So again, the question is, what did this guy do? This is where this story just reeks to high heaven. What did this guy do?
Must have been bad.
Right?
Yeah.
Had to be. No. He reported his car stolen. Police say they found it. He went to pick it up. They asked him, "Are you here legally?" No. They turned immigration officials onto him.
Oh my God.
No, don't. Before you get into the mocking of it, which is quite easy to do,
because this is ridiculous.
Why did they make an exception for this guy? He's a carpenter. He was building houses. He had a job. He was minding his own business. Here's a guy who reports crime. Right, they say that's the number one thing for sanctuary cities.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel comfortable reporting crime. So a guy reports crime.
Okay.
He's a victim. Mm-hmm. And they turn him over. Why?
That's a good question.
Why? I do not have an answer at this point.
Okay, because that's a
but
good
question. But why?
Well, I mean, obvious one is that Trump handles these things differently, right? Like, I mean, the pressure maybe is getting to some of these smaller communities.
Or this is their fight back, right?
For them to say, this is exactly why we have this sanctuary city law. So
right.
So that
this happened under
crimes
Obama, by the way.
Reported.
Right.
So the crimes are reported. We must
so
have it.
Now... The staff attorney at the Asian Law Caucus, this guy's not Asian.
No.
This guy is Pedro
Figueroa Zarcinho.
He's 33. He's not Asian. The guy who is at the Asian Law Caucus decided to pick this up.
Jeez.
And was represented by... Sierra Hussein. Now, why did they take the case? And what is being done here? And I think you're exactly right, Stu, that they are using this as a case because he's a sympathetic figure. Here's the guy that everybody wants to say is the guy...
Yep.
We told you they won't report
if you're going to do this.
Right.
Yep.
And this
guy
is the guy.
This guy's reporting.
And he's a hardworking guy. He's here for a job. He's doing his job. He's paying his taxes. Remember, Rosa Parks was not the first to stand up on the bus and say, no, I'm not sitting in the back.
She was just the best one to represent the cause.
Exactly right. There were other people before her, but she
was...
There
were teens, I think, right?
Yes. She was...
Young girls.
She was the one that the system, if you will, picked and said, she's the one that has the great case. She's perfectly articulate. She can, she's got a clean record. She's, I think she was married and had kids or whatever the situation was, but she was not the first to stand up. She was the one that the movement chose and said, you go do it.
To quote Joe Biden, she was articulate and clean. It was a fairy tale. It was a fairy tale.
No, that's when he was talking about something else.
Okay.
Why was this guy selected? Because remember, he was arrested at the end of
December 2015.
December, and they file suit in January. So they fine him. They find each other.
It was also after Kate Steinle was murdered.
Yeah.
So even after that murder, they're willing to. I mean, this guy has a lot of nerve to turn around and sue the city for $190,000 when he shouldn't be here in the first place.
That's amazing.
And they grant him that $190,000. They're trying to make a statement here.
And I'm probably reading way too much into it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem... Why break it on this one?
Even us, you know, we're strong on the border. The most ardent defender of ending sanctuary cities would admit that this is certainly a possibility to happen occasionally.
Oh, it's going to happen over and over again. Not in San Francisco.
No, but what I'm saying, my point,
Dallas,
though, is that,
like, you kind of understand it. This is San Francisco.
You know, you might as well wait for the perfect case, though, right? I mean, why?
You're saying if they were waiting for a case?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously, yes. The point is, you're making large decisions over large groups of people here, not saying that there can't ever be an exception to this rule. But, you know, you have to weigh the positives and negatives. It's a cost-benefit analysis.
If you're coming to the police to report a crime, I think I could easily side with leave people alone. Let them report crime. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Don't ask any questions when you're reporting a crime.
Yeah.
Because you don't want more crime to happen. This is the worst-case scenario for people who say, hey, we have a problem with illegals. Okay, well, let's make sure they report crime. Let's give them a pass on reporting crime. You know what I mean? That's an easy compromise to make.
You can work this out.
Why, easily. After Kate is singled out, this guy comes up to report a crime and all of a sudden
they make him rich.
Yeah, and San Francisco becomes a hard ass with this guy?
Yeah.
That's not right.
Speaking of aliens, you want to hear about a real frightening alien story that I noticed you're avoiding all day. All day he's avoided the biggest alien story of the day, of the week. Perhaps one of the bigger stories in human history.
Perhaps.
Just give me
that was a silly statement.
It was.
Quite obviously, the biggest story in human history.
It's embarrassing you wouldn't even mention it.
Just give it to me.
All right. This was broken the other day. I can't take credit for this. We did not break this. This was broken by Alex Jones on his show, I believe last week.
This may strike your listeners as way out, but we actually believe that there is a colony on Mars that is populated by children who were kidnapped and sent into space on a 20-year ride.
Okay.
So that once they get to Mars, they have no alternative but to be slaves on the Mars colony. There's all kinds of...
Look, I know 90% of the NASA missions are secret, and I've been told by high-level NASA engineers that you have no idea. There's so much stuff going on, but then it goes off into all that. I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing the media jumps on. But I know this. We see a bunch of a mechanical wreckage on Mars, and people say, oh, look, it looks like, you know, mechanics. They go, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Clearly, they don't want us looking into what's happening. Every time probes go over, they turn them off.
The child sex slave industry in Mars.
What the hell was that?
I mean, why are we not talking about this? Why is something not being done? These children... Well, they're not children by the time they get there, granted.
It's like because 6 months trip to
Mars. Why is it 20 years? Are they traveling?
They may be using an old Vanoliner.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They may be
the Chevy Astro van.
The Chevy Astro van.
Yeah.
Or what was that? What was
top
that
speed? About 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, Scooby Doo. They were using the Scooby. It was 20 years. They got the 20 what
year
was it?
Trip.
The Mystery Machine. Yeah, but what kind of van was that? Not the new one. Not
no,
the new
those
one, the
were,
old one.
Those were those handy vans.
Yes.
Those little Chevy handy vans with the wheel up front.
Yeah, yeah. I see you driving wheels. A white one around some neighborhood sometimes.
Sell ice cream. Got to make some extra money somewhere. What are you talking about?
Sell a little ice cream. Nothing wrong with that.
That is a...
You don't come around my house. I'll buy you out of ice cream every time you're in my neighborhood, brother.
Wait, can we discuss his actual point there? Because, first of all, you can see Alex Jones actually senses the media is going to make fun of him on this one.
Well, yeah.
And he's like, the media is going to jump all over this one. But his instinct is to still defend the guy.
Let me tell you something. NASA's, about 90% of their missions are secret.
I've been told by high-level NASA engineers there's a lot going on.
Hang on just a second. You don't even need to get to Alex Jones. You really don't.
Really?
Just play it again. I'll tell you where to stop.
Okay. All right.
This may strike your listeners as way out, but we actually believe that there is a colony on Mars.
Colony on Mars.
That is populated by children who were kidnapped and sent into space on a 20-year ride.
Okay.
Why even go to Alex Jones?
I know.
Well, I mean, this is enough to feast on for a week.
It is. Because you're right. First of all, they were kidnapped and sent into space on a 20-year journey. They don't seem to actually be there yet. Right.
Yeah, who's kidnapping them? I guess NASA.
But so they were kidnapped. They were sent into space on a 20-year mission. Although he said there is a colony on Mars already. So, but they don't seem to be there. It doesn't seem to have that down. But then
they are there because they're forced. There's no way back, so they're forced.
Yeah, but listen to the wording.
After a 20-year journey.
But what are they doing? What are they building on Mars?
But listen to his wording. He's saying there is a colony on Mars.
Yes.
But it's the
colony of child slaves. Is it?
First of all, if they're there by themselves, well, who's enslaving them? Right. You need to have someone to enslave them. And if they're 20-year-olds,
why would they be sex slaves? Why do you just assume that this is a sex planet?
They have no other choice.
You somehow turn the story weird.
Let's see.
Why does he always go to the darkest places?
But then listen
to this.
This may strike your listeners as way out, believe that there is a colony on Mars.
Okay, there is a colony on Mars.
So it's there, right?
It is populated by children who were kidnapped.
Okay. By children who were kidnapped.
And sent into space on a 20-year ride.
Okay, 20-year ride.
So that once they get to Mars, they have no alternative but to be slaves on the Mars colony.
They have no alternative but to be slaves.
I mean, no matter what planet they land on, they have no alternative.
Yeah, I mean, look, hang on just a second. You land on a planet, there's no food, there's no water, there's nothing. And they're like, use those shovels and make a big house for me because I'm coming at some point. You might kill the guy with a shovel, but as long as he's sending you food and water, yes, you are going to build whatever he tells you to build.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah, because there's no...
Unless you have the smarts of, say, Matt Damon, and you know how to make potatoes out of your own poop.
Yes.
Why then? Maybe you take a chance.
You know, and here's Poopy the problem. Potatoes. Here's the problem. They went up. 17 years before that movie was made. They don't have any idea. Right.
That's true. But you're exonerating Alex Jones's point here. Because he says, first of all, the media is going to mock this, but then he defends it anyway and tries to figure out a way that it could theoretically be true. Then he makes one of the most amazing, odd, guttural noises I've ever heard in my entire life. But then he says... A, there's lots of wreckage on Mars. It looks like there's mechanics there.
Mechanics fixing the Astro Van.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Fixing the Astro Van.
Listen to this one more time. We have to listen to this one more time.
Do you want to start with
I think from here is fine, yeah.
All right.
There's all kinds of...
Look, I know 90% of the NASA missions are secret, and I've been told by high-level NASA engineers that you have no idea. There's so much stuff going on. But then it goes off into all that. I mean, that's the kind of thing the media jumps on. But I know this. We see a bunch of a mechanical
We see a lot of that. A lot of... I see a lot of...
What is it about Alex Jones that entertains you two for hours? You guys could listen to him for hours.
We could do a whole show just on his... Just on his segments.
We didn't even get to the mechanic part yet.
No, okay, here's...
Mars And people say, oh, look, it looks like, you know, mechanics. They go, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. It's like mechanics. Clearly, they don't want us looking into what's happening. Every time probes go over, they turn it off.
What? What?
Guys, where do you think all those Chevy Volts went?
Oh,
the government. Okay. The government spent.
On a slow flight to Mars.
Yes. There's no oxygen there. Fire. What happens to fire? With no oxygen.
It goes out.
It can't burn. Right. It's the only place a Chevy Volt is safe.
And I would say, as you would expect, NASA has denied that it's running a child-safe colony on
Mars.
That's unbelievable. Well, of course they're going to say that.
Right. That's why they didn't find any children in the pizza place.
they're all on Mars.
The tunnels go to Mars.
And now this. Are you tired during the day? You getting a good night's sleep? With Casper, you're getting a higher quality mattress and a cool, comfortable sleep every single night at a much more affordable price. Casper ships right to your front door in a free, small, really small, like that's the mattress box. And then if you open up the box, open it where you want the mattress. Trust me, when you open it, it all of a sudden folds out and it's giant. If you don't love this after 100 nights, they'll come and pick it up for free and refund every single penny, no questions asked. The breakthrough in design, superior quality, packaging, letting you try it for 100 nights. This is why Casper was named one of Fast Company's 50 most innovative brands of 2017. Sleeping on the mattress, the best way to try it? Go to Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck at $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Try it out in your own home. Rules and restrictions do apply. Casper.com, promo code Beck. Casper.com, promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, we didn't get a chance to talk about Chris Christie on the beach. It's, I mean, it's just priceless, the pictures of him sitting there with his family.
And by themselves.
Yeah, all by themselves as everybody else is shut off on the beach. His response is, you know, become a governor and you can live on the beach. Wow. More on that tomorrow. Third most least popular governor in history. There were actually governors that were less popular than him. Wow. Tomorrow.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.